was to commence with him 1085. Hence, vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. 1085.
Thank you. from the 72nd Psalm and the first 40 verses of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. The 72nd Psalm and the first 40 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Give thee, King, thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressive. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as the showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. They of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Then men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I. Be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. And the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. They also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Dear Lord, thou who hearest and answerest prayer, we come to thee once again and seek that thou would send down thy Spirit into the sanctuary of God this night, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that his work may be known in our hearts, his teaching. O Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may take of the things of Jesus and apply them in the heart. And there may be this night a feeding upon that bread of heaven, even thyself, a feeding, Lord, in revelation, in teaching, in gracious wisdom. O draw near and grant that revelation of Christ in the heart. There may be a knowledge of him whom to know is life eternal, that there may be, Lord, a looking unto him. But thou hast said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. And O gracious God, we pray for that life of God in our soul. We may know it in our hearts, that our hearts may be touched by thy Spirit, that we may this night feed upon thy holy word, that it may be made sweet to our taste, and that, Lord, we may know it in its life and power, in preaching and in hearing, that thy holy word may have free course, and be glorified in the hearts of poor sinners, may be coming to thy mercy seat. And, Lord, entering into the truth, we know that he heareth us, because he granted us those things that we have asked of him. Oh, may we know thy presence. May our hearts be as the men on the road to Emmaus. Did not our heart, they said, burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Oh, may thy love and thy mercy and thy word be sweetly known in our hearts. May we know, Lord, its sacred power and softening influence. And may thy holy word, gracious God, bring forth fruit. Lord, we walk in this world, thou knowest, much hardness of heart, much worldly mindedness, much carnality. But we thank you for a desire to come apart this night and to rest a while. And thou knowest, Lord, the desires of those who have come in here. Whether they have come in with the language of one, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me, oh, that thou wouldst grant us that answer of peace, Lord, that we may be strengthened with all might in the inner man, we may walk in sweet union and communion with thyself. We may know those everlasting and eternal arms underneath. We deserve not, Lord, the least of thy mercies, thou knowest. Gracious God, we know in times past thou hast extended that scepter of mercy to us. Thou hast been a good God to us. We have proved it again and again. Lord, we have walked for many years now in the sweetness of thy promise when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And Lord, we have not only walked in the sweetness of it, but solemnly, gracious God, we have doubted thee. Unbelief has been, Lord, constantly present. Oh, for that, a gift of faith. Increase our faith. Help us to anchor in thyself, oh, to rest in thee, and in the blessedness of that truth, he himself knew what he would do. We have proved thee, Lord, to be that one who art better to us than all our doubts and fears. That Jesus once said, the hymn writer, upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Dear Lord, use thy word. I read that blessed truth, all that the Father giveth me. shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Look down here in the church and congregation, Lord, this night, and oh, come by thy Spirit, and grant there may be a portion for six, and also for seven. And Lord, that thy holy word and thy truth may be made meat and drink in the hearts of thy dear people. Look down, Lord, upon all the afflictions here. We pray for one in the hospital at Addenbrooke. Thy ways are past finding out, and we have proved it again and again. But Lord, we pray that thou would sanctify to him and to his the pathway that thou hast ordained that he should walk in. And Lord, that there may be in it manifestly love and mercy. The Lord, thou knowest, has caused us to walk in deep waters, and come in our own life feeling near to the edge of eternity. The Lord, thou knowest, we proved in it mercy, thy presence, oh, that he might enter into that blessed truth. Jesus, our eternal lover, says his word shall never fail. Oh, look down, Lord, and grant that there may yet be coming to thy mercy, see, the sweet realization that thou art too wise to err, too good to be unkind. And dear Lord, we pray for the church here, the young, the rising generation, as we watch them and have over many years. They may be the subjects of the work of grace in their heart. They may be established in the truth, rooted and grounded in the truth, taught by thy Spirit. We know not for any one of them what deep waters may yet cross life's pathway, for there is a cup put into the hands of each one of thy dear people, thy living family. Its contents are known unto thee. They are ordained for the good of thy dear children, for their eternal profit. They are the places, the spots in life's journey, where, gracious God, thou knowest, thou dost draw nearest to us, and we prove what it is to have fellowship with thee in thy suffering. We learn of thee and all that thou didst pass through for us. We learn, Lord, the solemnity of that truth. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Lord, we pray there may yet be in this solemn powers of experience that but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Lord, may there be a knowledge of thyself. My dear servant prayed that I might know him. Lord, reveal thyself in the path of affliction, and may there be a sweet entrance into the truth. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Come then, we pray thee, Lord, bless the labours of thy sent servants in this pulpit, and grant, gracious God, that there may be souls for their hire and seals to their ministry, that there may be a growth here in the church, in the sanctuary of God, a movement of thy Spirit, a humbling, bringing down to the powers of obedience. Lord, the following of thee, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Gracious God, grant there may be a venturing. Venture, says the hymn writer on him, venture wholly. Let no other trust in truth. None but Jesus. None but Jesus. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And Lord, we pray, may be prosperity here in the sanctuary of God and in the church. The movement of thy Holy Spirit, fruit to attend the labours of thy servant, a building up, an establishment, a rooting downward spiritually. That there may be, Lord, that in the soul, the growth, a growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Gracious God, look down upon the deacons in office and support, uphold and sustain them. Look upon Zion, the city of thy solemnity. Send under shepherds to the flock. Be thy sovereign will. Thou hast divine purposes. And Lord, we pray that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. Gracious God, we pray for this heathen, godless, pagan, secular society in which we're living. Lord, the darkness deepens. Great evils abound on every hand. Abominations are all about us. Few come to thy solemn feast. We have seen and witnessed this great falling away. And yet, Lord, thou hast a tiny remnant. We pray for them, ever give them grace, to be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Lord, grant to them those evidences and tokens, a sweet hope, raised up in their soul. We read that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart. As all thy servants, even this night, Lord, as they stand up in thy holy name, we thank thee for those that have raised up recently, in recent months and years, and sent forth the ministry of thy holy word, Lord, we pray for them. And still, Lord, we pray that as raise others up, equip, gracious God, those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work, and Lord, make them ready in the backside of the desert to stand upon the walls of Zion and to preach the truth out of the sweet experience of it in the depths, in their soul. Lord, raise others up. Turn the tides of darkness and grant thy work may be sweetly carried on, may be building up, and Lord, in Zion, and there may yet be a turning of great tides of darkness. We pray for those in authority over us, Lord, thou seest all things. Oh, how we beseech thee, that if it could be thy divine will, thou wouldst raise up God-fearing men in high places. Thou seest the solemn nature of the arrogance of godless men that have long reigned over us. But Lord, thou hast in generations past raised up God-fearing men in high places. Preserve to us our national independence. Preserve to us our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. Preserve to us yet, Lord, thy truth in this land. And preserve us from the solemn approach of persecution. As is now this night, we will come apart and seek thy faith. Lead us into thy truth and grant the anointing, unction and dew of thy Holy Spirit. Touch our lips, the live coal from thy heavenly altar, richly supply our every need, fill an earthen vessel. We ask for the pardon of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
In 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. 727.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the 72nd Psalm, reading from verse 15. The 72nd Psalm, reading from verse 15. And he shall live. To him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. And he shall live. To him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. This verse has rested upon my mind for a long time now, and I have preached from it several times. And again it rests upon my spirit tonight to come to the truth that lies here. This psalm is peculiarly the psalm of Christ, the Messiah. There are truths within this psalm which can only relate to him. Many truths you may have noticed as we read this psalm which point undoubtedly to the eternal Son of God. And here in the opening part of our text is a word of great hope and truth. He lives. He died. He lives again. He lives in glory at the right hand of his Father. He lives for the benefit of his beloved people. He lives to intercede on their behalf. His death, the shedding of his precious blood, was for them. I read that sixth chapter of the Gospel of John for that one word, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. When he prayed at the end of the Last Supper, that prayer that concluded the supper, recorded in the 17th of John, speaks in this same vein of those whom thou hast given me, I've lost none. I will, those whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, the day may behold my glory. Have you in your heart's experience a knowledge that he lives? Have you approached him at the mercy seat? Have you got in your heart answers to prayer? Have you found him to be a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? Has he drawn near to you? Has he spoken to you in your hour of need? Has he come just where you were? Have you proved him to be an ever-present help in time of trouble? You have been down into the depths. Every door has been shut but one. And that is mercy's door. This was the dying prayer of David. And his eyes were up to his God. And he was walking in the same path that the Lord's servant, the Apostle Paul, walked in. When he said, I'm now ready to depart. ready. Oh, he knew that the Saviour lived, and that he would go to be with him forever. And this is the pathway that God brings his dear people to, a hope in himself. The Saviour lives, says the hymn writer in the 751st hymn, no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to say. And he lives in the hearts of his dear people. He lives as that God to whom they go constantly. We must learn that truth, and blessed truth it is indeed. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. At the right hand of his Father today, he lives to plead that finished work on Calvary's cross. And it is through that sacrifice of sin and that shed blood that his dear people are enabled to approach his Father, that holy, holy God who cannot look upon sin. That he lives to deal with the dust of this earth. Poor, ruined, fallen, lost sinners, he lives to stoop down, like he did in his own day to the man who fell among thee, came just where he was. And oh, what a wonder of wonders it is. We proved in our own pathway that the Lord comes when most we need his helping hand. He draws near and he speaks the exceeding great and precious promises into our hearts. He draws near in our hour of darkness, and he comes with that fountain of his precious blood. And he sprinkles our consciences. The Lord in rich mercy stoops down into the very hour of need of his dear people, because he lives. Because he hears their cries. Deep waters cross life's pathway. We proved it again and again. And yet, we have known the blessedness of those deep waters, and have known the sacredness of this truth. And he shall live. Live in the reality of it, in our hearts. Bring into our souls, in our darkest hours, great peace. Put those everlasting arms of mercy underneath, and know his strength in our weakness. Beautiful certainty here. He shall live forever for the good of his dear people, for their comfort. Why, he said when he left them, my peace. Oh, do you need it? It's his to give. My peace I leave with you. Sacred peace that is spoken of here. Oh, to know it. On Galilee, in that storm, amidst all their fears, his voice rang out, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. It is so in the lives of his dear people in the darkest hours, the deepest waters, the most fearful storms, peace. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire, an ever present help in time of need. Faithful, unchangeable, mighty to save, able to do more abundantly than we could even ask or think. We proved it. Proved it in life's pathway. He was there. He shall live. Oh, the truth of it is this, you see, that he will live in the hearts of his dear people in their afflictions and trials by sweet experience. I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Not easy. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Great rock. For weary sinners may. When storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head while lightnings rage and thunders roll within the cleft of his dear side. Here all his saints in safety dwell, and what from Jesus shall divide not all the rage of earth or hell. And he shall live for his dear people's benefit, live to supply their need, live to walk with them in their affliction. Oh, there is a blessedness in this, you know, when the Lord lives in the hearts of his dear people. They have fellowship with him in his suffering. He comes in their darkest hours, their deepest valleys. Oh, how they catch a glimpse of his sorrow, his sufferings, his pathway. We have, I believe, if the Lord favours us with sweet fellowship with him in his sufferings, to go into some deep water. And we have to go down, like Jonah did, into the depths, and to be shut off from all creature help, and be taken apart, come ye apart and rest a while, and there to learn his presence, that he lives, that he does know our case and our pathway, and that he is a merciful, sympathizing, faithful high priest, and that he is touched with a feeling of our infirmities. It is only a living soul made alive by the Holy Spirit that will seek a living God. But there will be sweet union, fellowship and communion with him. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Gold is tried in the furnace. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto honour and glory and praise the appearing of Jesus Christ. Faith is likened there to gold. I believe here in this text here tonight, gold that is spoken of here is the entire church of God. Gold is used in Scripture as a symbol of deity. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the Bethlehem's manger, the wise men brought significant presents, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, divinely ordained these figures. Gold, pointing to the deity of Christ in Bethlehem's manger in his incarnation. Frankincense, to his great office of intercession as the high priest of his dear church. And myrrh, to his death and burial. It is used again in the Scriptures to speak of the preaching of the gospel. Other foundation, says Scripture, can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if any man build, and that's the servants of God, on this foundation, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. The figure is a divine figure. And here it is given to the church of Christ. All that the Father giveth me. There's a beautiful word here. To him shall be given. Yes, strange though it may seem, his dear people are gold in his sight. They're precious to him. But like all gold, they're put in the furnace, in the fire, heated as it were 7 times hotter. But the Lord is there. He is with them. He is dealing. He is working. These in his hand are precious. He's going to refine them. And all that will be left in that refining process is the work of God in their souls. All fleshly religion is to be burned up. All that is carnal has to go. And there will be left that which is the work of God in their hearts, that which he has spoken to them, that which he has done in them. Initially, it is the divine work. The wind bloweth. Blessed work, indestructible, as gold. The fire will not destroy it. The fires of life's pathway cannot destroy it. It is a work divine. Yes, the sinner in the light of Scripture is like the bride in the Song of Solomon, black. Black as the tents of Kedar. Like the dear hymn writer when he said, vile and full of sin I am. God's dear church feel that. They know it. But the bride in the Song of Solomon said that she was black but comely. And the comeliness that was in her and seen in her by her God was what he had done in her and what he'd given her and what he was to her. Oh, when his dear church reach glory, and all carnal things are done away, including this fallen nature and this ruined body, is laid in the tomb, the immortal soul of his dear people, redeemed by his precious blood, and that dust which is laid in the earth, redeemed, waiting its redemption. Oh, all is here in this beautiful figure, to him shall we give. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, given as fallen, ruined sinners in that eternal and everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, redeemed with Jesus' blood redeemed, his beauties called to trace, no angel can with it compare, a sinner saved by grace, gold, to him shall be given the gold of Sheba, the most valuable, the most precious. Why, precious in his eyes is the death of his saints. They're his and he has loved them with an everlasting love, to grace and glory he ordained. It is a sacred truth here, to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. They were effectually given to him in eternity past. Before I formed thee in the womb, the Lord told Jeremiah, I knew thee. And so it is with all his dear church. And when they come into this world in their fallen condition, they walk in the days of their unregeneracy, watched over by him, kept. And then, in divine purposes, he comes and touches their hearts. Beautifully, he described it. When he spoke to Nicodemus, the wind blows. That was the man whom God had ordained would be favored to take the body of his dear son to the tomb. Sacred honor. Two secret disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, came out of their secret discipleship into the open at the cross of Calvary. And there was manifested the love that brought them, the work of grace in their heart, and the sacred fruit of that work. The Lord knew. The wind blew that night. Neither you nor I can tell when the work began with Nicodemus. One thing is sweetly certain, as that is this. The Pharisees, in their godless formal religion, detected it. Art thou one of them? And he was. And oh, what a blessed thing that is, when God, in his rich mercy, works by his grace, with a gentle breath of heaven, and calls a poor sinner to himself, there to have one to whom he can cling, there to have one to whom in all the pathway of life he can go and prove that he is his God. Dear Anne Steele said, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. when she was dying, her dying utterance was, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He came to her in that solemn, sacred hour and answered that petition and touched her soul with his love and blood. And she knew that her Redeemer lived. That he shall live. To him shall be given the gold of Sheba. And prayer shall be made for him continually. Oh, how Christ is the intercessor of his dear people. Prayer is made to him and through him. Oh, how he prayed for his dear people. There is a blessed communion, one with another. "I have prayed for thee," he said to his servant Peter, "that thy faith fail not." Oh, how the dying thief, in his dying hour, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The Apostle Paul on his knees in the street court straight, and the Lord said to Ananias, "Behold," he prayed. Yes, sacred truth. "Behold," says the hymn writer, "a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory, sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. That they might approach the mercy seat. Have an intercessor, an advocate, a great high priest, in heaven's high court above." I say, do you know him? Have you walked in his sweet comfort and presence? Have you come and pleaded with him? Perhaps come where Hezekiah came, down to the gates of eternity, and there to cry out, "O Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me." And there was an answer. In love to my soul, he lives. In love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. The afflictions of Hezekiah and the afflictions of Job were sanctified to their eternal good and profit. "I have heard of thee," said Job, "by the hearing of you. But now," oh, it was so different, "mine eyes seeth thee. I have walked with thee in my affliction. I know that my Redeemer liveth." But I had to go that way to learn it. I'd go that way. Why? Because these things are sacred and holy, and they're only given in such hours when the Lord brings us right down, humbles us in the dark, separates us from this world, and calls us to come apart and commune with him alone. Then it is that he draws near. And then it is that we know his love and blood in our hearts, walk in the sweetness of his presence, and come to that blessed place where we can truly say, "He does all things well. Now mine eyes seeth thee." A sight of a holy God and a loving Saviour. And the effect, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And he shall live. and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba, and prayer shall be made to him continually, and daily shall he be praised. That praise contains tears. It's not human. It's not carnal. It's not fleshly. It's divine. It stems from sweet fellowship with the eternal Son of God. And this psalmist David, in his life, had known what it was, as Hezekiah did, for his sins to be forgiven. And he knew what it was to praise his God. Praise stems from the depths of the soul of a poor sinner under the sweet application of the precious blood of Christ, delivering them from guilt, filth, and condemnation, bringing them into the glorious liberty of the children of God and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Then there is joy in their hearts. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Their tears are put in his bottle, ever to be remembered by him. They're mourners before their God, and he has brought them there to weep at his mercy seat. And there lies praise, gratitude, thankfulness. And I believe, if I know anything in experience, why me? Why did I receive mercy? Why to my soul did he come? Has he come to yours? Have you been brought into that blessed place? Why me? Greatest sinner, greatly loved. And that is true. And it's from such hearts that praise emanates to God. There is freedom and liberty in a broken heart. Why, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. But there was deliverance. He knew his Saviour had looked upon him in mercy. And that mercy had broken his heart. He knew he deserved not the least of the mercies of Christ. But he knew what mercy was. He could speak of what he saw at Calvary's cross, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. To him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Poor, fallen sinner, called out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light, plunged in that crimson ocean, his atonement made for sin, made ready to be with him where he is forever. Or what do we know of it in our heart? Have we a hope? I felt it in prayer, tribulation, worketh patience. That is enduring grace. Tribulation worketh patience. The grace to endure. It is the very test of the faith of his dear people in the fire. Gold in the furnace dry. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Oh, when you look in the lives of these dear saints, what an experience they had. Yes, the fire, the suffering, the sorrow, the temptation. They walked in the path of their master. The tribulation worketh patience. It does. And patience experience. Oh, the blessedness of experience. He shall live. Sweet experience. Is he a living God? Has he been to you? And experience hope. Oh, that's the ground of hope. The hope of God's dear people is not the hope of this world. It's something vastly different. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Have you got that hope tonight? Do you know the pathway to it? Blessed hope, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made forever an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, one there is. He lives above all others. Well deserves the name of friend. Is his love beyond a brother's? Perfect. Free and knows no end. Oh, do you know that love? It's everlasting. And praise to be given to him. Oh, have you given praise to him in your life? Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spent. Have you spent them? Sweet mercy to know a living Saviour, a living God. To have a friend to whom you can go. One upon whom you can roll all your cares and burdens, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Broome is expected to preach next Lord's Day and again on Monday at the anniversary services. Hymn 470. Death and the grave are doleful themes for sinful mortal worms to sing, except the Saviour's brighter beams dispel the gloom and touch the string. 470. Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.